synergy, being better together, understanding from the Word of God principles that we can apply to our marriages and to our homes that will help us to have the synergy that God intended for you and I to have in these relationships that we hold so dear. And we're going to continue that series with this thought today on the ministry of communication. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the missing element of communication, and that was mercy. And if you missed last Sunday, or you're just visiting with us and that topic is of interest to you, you can go to GabrielRule.com, listen to it, and download the handout, and that is printed for you there in today's handout. We're going to continue under the theme of communication today, talking about the ministry of communication. There was a man, and he and his wife lived in upstate New York, and he was just growing so tired of the cold weather and the snow and all the things that they were dealing with. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to take a trip to Florida. And just kind of spontaneous, made the arrangements and took off. His wife wasn't even home when he left. She was out of town. And so he communicated with her and told her, sweetheart, when you're done with your trip, don't go back to New York. Come and meet me in Florida. We need this time, you know, in the sun. Well, he arrived and he decided he'd send his wife an email and just let her know that he got there safely and everything was okay and so on. And so he sent the email and communicated that to her. But in her email address, he got a couple of the letters and the numbers mixed up, and it didn't go to his wife. In fact, it went to a pastor's wife, an elderly lady in the state of Iowa, and her husband had just passed away the day before. Well, this little now widow turned on her computer and she read the email. She screamed and she fainted. There were some friends and family members there with her in the house, and so they kind of ran into the room and there found her lying on the floor, and they looked at the computer screen and they read the email and they understood why she fainted, because this is what the email said. Sweetheart, just wanted you to know that I arrived safely. I'm looking forward to you being with me tomorrow. Signed, your husband. P.S. It sure is hot down here. And that threw her for a loop indeed. And you know, sometimes in our marriages, we want to communicate right. We want to, you know, send the right message. And sometimes we mess it up and we don't intentionally do it. But sometimes we need some help from the Word of God to know how it is that we ought to communicate one with the other. And I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 5, because there are many principles concerning the marital relationship found in this rich passage and chapter. And we've studied it many times in our class, and no doubt we'll study it again. But I want to launch from verse number 33 and look at it with me if you would. The Bible says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. So now he's speaking to the husbands. Husbands, so love your wife, as challenged here in verse 33, even as himself. So as much as you love and care for yourself, this is the love and care you are to provide for your bride. And then the wife see that she reverence her husband. And the conclusion of the teachings on marriage in the fifth chapter of Ephesians concludes with this command to the husband and wife. Husbands, love your wife, even as yourself. Wife, see that you reverence your husband. And last week we began this theme of communication and learning about the missing element of mercy. Today now I want us to turn our attention to some specifics from the Word of God on how we can communicate more effectively in our marriages. And let's dive in. Number one, I want us to see the difficulty with communication. The difficulty with communication. Now, why is it that communication between the husband and the wife at times can be difficult? And I certainly don't want a raising of hands here. I want you to be able to enjoy your Sunday afternoon together at home. But if you've been married any length of time, it doesn't shock me at all to know that you have been in a mode or moment or conversation or time where you've been trying to communicate and it just wasn't happening. You weren't on the same page. What you intended wasn't what was understood, or whatever the case may be, but there was some difficulty with it. Why is that? Why is it so hard to communicate at times with the one that we love so very much? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, letter A, because we communicate in code. because we communicate in code. Sometimes in our husband-wife relationship, we communicate in a way that's not registering with our spouse. It's not making sense to them. The dots are not connecting. It's just not happening because what we're saying is not what's being heard, and what our spouse thinks they heard us say is not what we meant at all. Have you ever been in a conversation with your spouse and their reaction to what you said kind of just left you speechless? Like, how did we get here from what I just said? And then as it is repeated back to you, you're like, that's not what I said at all. And it may be what you said, but it wasn't what you meant to say, or whatever the case may be. Here's a classic illustration. When she says, I have nothing to wear, what she means is, I have nothing new. When he says, I have nothing to wear, what he means is, I have nothing clean. And this is the code in which we speak. It's the way it works in marriage. And sometimes the simplest of misunderstandings can lead to full-blown arguments. And it just gets out of control if we're not careful, because the simplest things that were no big deal and they really weren't all that important, but because we're on the same page, it can escalate. Why? Well, because we speak in code. And then secondly, because we communicate critically. Because we communicate critically. Does anybody in here like to feel stupid? No, we don't. We shy away from things that would make us feel stupid, right? I don't want to stand up here this morning and be looked at as a fool, so I want to study and then read over my notes and prepare so that I can stand up here and communicate intelligibly to you, even with the mishap of our handout this morning. But there's some thought into that, right? Well, so it is in your life and in your relationship. You don't want to feel a certain way. So when you communicate with your spouse, and all of a sudden it feels like you're communicating in code, you're not on the same page, you're not understanding each other, the dots are not connecting, because we begin to feel awkward, maybe misunderstood, and even a bit put down or belittled or demeaned, then if we're not careful, we react and we're critical, because we're trying to kind of defend ourselves or what it is we're saying, or we're trying to kind of balance the situation. And when there's a misunderstanding, it can lead to frustration, and it shows up in the way we communicate. It shows up in our tone of voice. All of a sudden, the inside voice is escalated a bit. It can show up in our facial expression. It is very clear we are no longer enjoying this conversation. We're no longer enjoying this misunderstanding. It has crossed a line. Every husband here knows what I'm talking about. It has crossed a line, okay? And now you've got to rescue it, or you're in big trouble for whatever it was that you said. And then it is noticeable in our body language as well. You can just tell we're not on the same page, and it's very bothersome. Now, this is a problem in marital communication, and it is a problem in particular that some wives struggle to understand, and they're frustrated by with the level of communication that they're having with their husband because of where it can go when it gets critical. Now, let's just pause and look at something here. God, in Ephesians 5, commands the husbands to love their wives 4 times. In that passage, he never one time commands the wife to love her husband. Because the kind of love that God is talking about in Ephesians chapter 5 is the kind of love that a wife gives naturally. It's just who she is. It's the motherly instinct. It's the have a shoulder to cry on and a hug and the holding of a hand and those kinds of things that are just natural. They're organic with her. So God does not give her the same instruction because it doesn't need it. But now notice in Titus 2:4. You're just going to have to trust me because you can't notice anything unless you turn there, I guess. But Titus 2:4 says this, that they may teach the young women, that's every lady in this room, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Now, in Ephesians 5, when the husbands are commanded to love, that's agape. That's a sacrificial love, okay? But in Titus 2, when the wife is commanded to love, that, a Greek word, is phileo. It means brotherly love. It's where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And so God is saying, listen, I want you to love with a brotherly love. I want there to be kindness shown to the family. It may be that the motives are agape love and sacrificial love, but the methods are lacking phileo love or kind love at times. Now, not every woman has this problem. In fact, probably none in this room in which I speak, but there are have been to known some women that in moments of weakness have admitted to the fact that there have been some moments, however minor, where they encountered these seasons of negativity with their husband and their children. A little frustration just with maybe the way things were communicated. And this has been known as PMS or the pre-murder syndrome. And when this is happening, everyone in the house is just kind of not sure if they should duck or pucker. They're not sure if they should run to or run from. And they're just not quite sure what's happening that particular day. No one in the family doubts her love. But everybody's wondering, does she even like me at this very moment? And sometimes that's the way it happens in communication. We're not communicating like we should. We're frustrated. We're speaking in code. We're not on the same page. And as a rule, women have learned when communication reaches this impasse that the way to win is to fight with words. Now, I just want to teach something to all husbands and wives in this room that will help us in our communication. Why? Because when this vicious cycle happens, communication does not get better, it gets worse. And I want to teach you why. Because when a wife would, in a moment of frustration, turn negative, turn critical, and begin to speak negatively or speak critically to her husband, here's what happens. When men hear negative criticism, they interpret that as contempt. Let me explain that. To them, it is interpreted that they are looked at with disgust and in intense moments with hatred from their wife. So we're communicating in code. We're not on the same page. We're frustrated. She begins to show that frustration and she says something negative, something critical, something belittling, something not reverencing, Ephesians 5:33. He interprets that as contempt. She doesn't even like who I am. She thinks I never do anything right. She always brings that up, and it's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then here's what happens. He stops talking. He leaves the room. He leaves the house. He stops talking. And now we are at an impasse. And just as every wife needs to know that when you are critical, it is interpreted as contempt. Husbands, when you and I are silent, it communicates hostility. Fellas, have you ever been in a communication, and please don't raise your hand, and there is a slight misunderstanding because we're talking in code, and now it gets a little critical, and you leave. Probably shouldn't have, but you leave. You leave the room, you go wherever, you're gone 15, 20, 30 minutes, let's say, and now you've kind of got a different perspective. You understand a little bit what she was saying, and you know, I kind of messed up. And now you're going back to smooth this over. Sweetheart, I thought it through. You were right, I was wrong, whatever you're going to say. And when you walked in the room, only to find your bride more upset with you at that moment than she was when you left. And then you get to thinking, okay, somebody else is involved in this. Did the kids do something? Did somebody call her? I mean, who added to my problem while it was gone? She's more angry now than she was when I left the room. Here's why. Silence is communicated as hostility. When you and I clam up, even if we stay in the room, which that's a whole other lesson because that's a very childish approach to just, you know, stay in there and not be willing to speak. You know, there is a part of it where you got to go into those darts, okay, guys? And you may kind of feel like the darts are coming and the negativity and the criticism and the reminder of what you did 10 years ago and you forgot the anniversary and, you know, whatever. There is a part of that where you have to recognize I have to go to her in this moment and make this right. Because I can get quiet and I can ignore it and I can put it under the rug and I can do this and I can do that. But it's only coming back like a bigger, badder monster eventually if I don't deal with it. So criticism can be interpreted as contempt and silence can be interpreted as hostility. And we have to remember those things and refuse to communicate in this way. So sometimes we communicate critically, and we've got to withhold that from a relationship. And then thirdly, sometimes it's because we communicate covertly. Covertly. Have you ever, and again, today's the kind of day nobody's allowed to move, all right? But have you ever been in a discussion with your spouse and it was escalating in a negative direction? And in the back of your mind, in all truthfulness, you forgot what you were arguing about? I mean, whatever little thing it was that, you know, kind of started it, if you will, by the time we're over on this side, we don't even know what got it started. But man, we're ready. We got both barrels loaded and we're going to go to war. And sometimes we communicate covertly. We can blame each other for being too sensitive or too insensitive, too touchy or not touchy enough, too immature or too methodical, whatever the case may be. But you know what it boils down to? And this is why Ephesians 5:33 is so important. When our communication is hitting that kind of a roadblock, that kind of a difficulty, that kind of a stress level, somebody has to look at it and say, I know what's going on. She doesn't feel my love. What she's saying, this criticism, this contempt, this disgust, this whatever, it's all because she's not convinced I love her like I should. And I've got to do something about that. And to every wife in here, when your communication hits that level, and you feel like, how in the world do we get here? There's something being spoken covertly he's not saying. And you say, he's not saying anything at all. I know. And when he's not saying it at all, here's what he's saying. I don't feel your reverence. I don't feel your respect. I don't have any desire to be in this conversation. And there's got to be something in a Christian husband and in a Christian wife who understands, you know what? Satan's going to fight our relationship. And sometimes over the smallest of things, a conversation can escalate in a way it should not. And I have to recognize through it all, it's not about what's being said in the moment. She's not convinced of my love, and I've got to go convince her of it. Or he's not convinced of my reverence, and I've got to go show him that respect that God demands that I show. That's what we have to do when covertly it is being communicated as something else. 1 Peter says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Know what's going on. Convince them of your love. Nobody can communicate as they should unless they're communicating biblically. So why is it such a struggle to communicate? Because it's in code. Because it turns critical. And because we're not even saying what really needs to be said. All right, so then how do we make that better? Number two, the development of communication. In the few minutes we have left, let me give this to you very, very quickly. The development of communication. So, Brother Earl, we get that. We're not saying anything. We're not raising our arms. We're not even cracking a smile. But if the truth be told, in our minds and hearts this morning, we're kind of with you. We totally get what you're saying, and you got us in one or two of those stories or illustrations or points. Okay. So how do we make that better? What do we need in our relationship? Let me give you some principles very quickly. First of all, biblical communication is appreciative. Is appreciative. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, to let the peace of God rule in your heart, so the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Biblical communication is appreciative. Why is it that we get in this rut where I don't understand it, she doesn't understand it, and then she says that, and then I don't say anything, and then we're in World War III, and it just, we take one step forward, Brother Rule, and we take 10 back. How do we reverse that? How do we get this topside and sustain it topside? Be appreciative. Here's your homework. Tomorrow, find something about your spouse you appreciate and communicate to them. Sweetheart, thank you for whatever. Communicate appreciation. We know that it takes about 4 compliments to offset any one criticism. And marriages often are dying for compliment, dying for appreciation, the expression thereof. And you might say, Brother Rule, I appreciate my spouse. Can I give you a dare? Go on a date this week and ask your spouse this question. Sweetheart, do you know that I appreciate you? Follow-up question. Do I communicate my appreciation sufficiently? Follow-up question. Is there anything I could do to show more appreciation? Now, you think I can give homework? Try that one. All right? There's your dare right there, all right? And get on that date. Ask questions. Are we communicating appreciation? Does he want to come home to you? Does she want to be around you? Is it that kind of an environment? It should. And it's the communication of appreciation. Secondly, biblical communication is honest. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love. Well, if we had that kind of a date, we would just tell each other we're both doing great. Or we would just tell each other, everything's terrible. Listen, I don't know what end of the spectrum it's on, but there's got to be the truth spoken in love. We're never going to get from where we are to where God wants us to be without looking in the mirror and saying, we got to work on something. Everybody in this room, especially this teacher, has areas to work on in their relationships. There's no doubt about it. I'd like to be a better husband tomorrow than I am today. And certainly next month and next year, I want to continue to grow in my role as a Christian, as a husband, as a father. And I believe that's your heart. That's why you're here. And we've got to look at that honestly. Not a single one of us can leave this class in a moment and say, man, I got that all figured out. We've all got room where we can get a little better. And we've got to be able to speak the truth in love and hear the truth in love from our spouse. Thirdly, biblical communication is harmless. The Bible says, and you can just jot these references down for sake of time, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Can we just ask ourselves an assessment question this morning? If the vitality of the life of our spouse solely depended the last 6 days on our communication to them. So take out rest, take out nutrition, take out exercise, take out all those things. If the vitality of the life of our spouse solely depended on our communication to them the last 6 days, what would they look like today? Would they be alive, vibrant, ready to go? Or would they be dead, exhausted, malnutritioned, beat up? What would it be? If the vitality of the life of our spouse depended upon only our communication to them, what would that look like? Have we prevented corrupt communication? Or have we been yelling? Have we been name-calling? Have we been saying things we should? And sometimes it's not verbally, it's through something like this. We'll send a text, we'll do this, we'll do that. And I'm telling you, we're eroding the strength of the relationship. Death and life from the power of the tongue. Grandma said it best, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. We always regret when in the moment we just let her fly. Sometimes it's constraint. Let no corrupt communication. Then biblical communication, lastly, is edifying. It's edifying. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. We don't want something that is harming our relationship, but we want to edify. What does edify mean? It means to build up. It means to invest in. You know what I believe? I believe every husband in this room can be a better husband with biblical communication coming from the wife. I believe every wife in this room can be a better wife with biblical communication coming from the husband. That's what edifying is all about. It's building up. That's why we're here. We're in this room this morning for a time of edification where we're going to open the Word of God, we're going to study the Scriptures, and we're going to say, you know what? That's true. Sometimes we communicate and we don't even know why, but we're all angry and frustrated. We can't figure it out. She probably doesn't know I love her. He probably doesn't feel my respect. I got to fix that. How? Well, I guess I could communicate some appreciation. Maybe it's been a little while since I've taken some time and thought and just really communicated, hey, thank you. Maybe there are some things I'm saying I shouldn't be saying. Some words, some comments, some stories, some rehearsals of the past. Maybe I just need to let that go. And then maybe I need to build up. And this week, strive to minister, to be a blessing, to invest, to give life. We talked last week about the missing element is mercy. And if we don't have mercy, we won't communicate like we should as Christian husbands and wives. But if we'll have mercy, it will help us to understand Ephesians 5:33. And we will strive to minister in the area of communication, not to allow it to unravel, but to stop the unraveling and to build up by applying biblical principles to our life that we can use and how we communicate each and every single day. We went off script this morning, but I hope we'll leave here thinking of this thought. If the vitality of the life of my spouse depends on what I say, Lord, help me this week to build up and not tear down. Help me to invest in. Help me to prove love and reverence. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together this morning around your word. Thank you for our class and our class members who are in the core class. Thank you for our guest today. Thank you for all the things that are happening here. We truly are grateful. And Lord, I pray that we would examine our relationship together this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would evaluate and assess how are we doing? How are we communicating? And may we be willing to learn from the Word of God. Boy, I might be hurting my spouse. I need to stop doing that. I need to build up. I need to show appreciation. I need to invest and edify. And Lord, help us to communicate that way that our marriages might be better and stronger and more synergistic. Bless our families this week is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.